I want you to all help me welcome to the stage tonight's speaker, OPO for Merritt, British Columbia.
I felt like a racehorse there for a while when they put this on. My name is Opie. I'm an alcoholic. And my home group is all the groups in all the islands of Hawaii. I like it when I introduce myself at meetings, roundups, wherever. My name is Opie, I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Opie. That makes me feel real good, because I didn't get that when I went into the bar. Hi, Opie, good to see you. Sit down, we'll buy you a beer. When I walked in the bar, all I heard was, oh no, it's Opie. I really feel Hawaiian-y. I'm from Canada, British Columbia, about 2.5 hours from Vancouver. My tribe is the Thompson tribe, the Inshakapmin people. We are the knife people. We are the warriors and the hunters. I've been in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous 11 years. 11 years in and out. I just celebrated not too long ago, 38 years. I went to my first meeting 50 years ago, and I'd like to say I stayed that long, but I didn't. I was a researcher. I finally got tired of researching, and I sort of blamed the group and said, you send somebody else out. I couldn't get the program. I couldn't. Because I didn't want it. The longest hours I ever spent is at AA meetings. A whole hour at a meeting. And you want to boogie, you want to fight, you want to steal. And these guys get up and they go, my name is Joseph, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. Up yours. Don't you be grateful around me, I'll smack you across the face. As soon as I said the serenity prayer, I was gone. Just in case somebody tried to save me. Yeah. When I came back, I was ready. I was defeated spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, shocked. I had it. And I thought about those old guys in the meetings. They're still there. I used to think things like, why didn't you just go home and get drunk? You're going to die pretty quick anyway. Party on. So I went to the meetings, and they're still there. And I did what they did. I just kept going, and then I got old. What is the magic? What is the medicine? What makes Alcoholics Anonymous work? Easy answer. Laughter is good medicine, for it will heal the weary bones and the weary souls. We laugh at shit that we used to do. Sorry. Because we're not doing it anymore. When somebody says, you know, one time I put my head over the toilet bowl and I just puked. I could relate to that, and I'm going, same here. You kind of get proud of stuff we did because it's not happening anymore. But when I first heard that, when I went to a meeting this time and somebody talked about it, I said, that's not funny. I just puked this morning. Why are you guys laughing? And then you get these guys that get up. Oh, I and my wife, we bought a new house. Somebody guy would get up. I just got a new job. Then some lady would get up. I just was allowed to have a new puppy in my apartment. And somebody got up, I just got a raise. And I started to get ticked off here. And when is my turn? When is it going to be my turn to get all this good stuff? I've been to 3 meetings. And where did they get these cards? I used to think people handed out these little cue cards. Because I'd go to a meeting in Richmond, I'd go to a meeting in Squamish, I'd go to meetings all over the place. And then you'd hear somebody in the meeting saying, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I didn't get one of those little things. Then one time I was in the program for a while, and I started talking. And then I found myself, you know, I got sick and tired. I've been sick and tired. I thought, oh, shit, I'm one of them now. Nobody told me to say that. I just said it. But when I said it, I meant it. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. So here I am. And I love how it works. Starts. I just love it. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. That's what I didn't do. I didn't thoroughly want to follow your path because I might catch this disease of sobriety. I might become a nice Indian. I won't be able to scalp anymore. And how could I relate to thoroughly? Well, I remembered when I was in the Skid Row bar in a bar downtown, I had 2 or 3 tables that were mine. Anybody sits on that table and they start to pass out, any money in their pocket is mine. So here's this guy passing out, and I can see dollars and that hanging out of his pocket. Somebody's going to set the table at my table. Then when the guy passed out, I thoroughly went through his pockets. His watch pocket, I even took his shoes off. Sometimes they got money in their socks. Stink, but it's still good. And I remember they used to go to meetings. I used to look for Indians. No Indians. Shitty meeting. Then I go to a meeting. Two Indians. Good meeting. We can get together at halftime and talk about our wagon burning stories. I remember I went to a meeting. I used to ride the bus and go to meetings with Chief Dan George, the one that acted in Little Big Man. I went to meetings with him. What a guy. At one meeting in Vine Street in Vancouver, we were at a meeting and they asked him to speak. And Chief Dan George got up and said, "My name is Dan. I am an alcoholic. I have a spiritual sickness where I blame God for everything, for being in a residential school, for being abused, for being an alcoholic. I was even angry at him because I was an Indian. But then I come to AA. Now I'm thankful to the Creator. I'm thankful to God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. My heart is happy today because I'm spiritually getting well. I accept who I am." And I think this way, two ways, in this order. One, I am a sick human being who wants to help other human beings get better. Two, I am an Indian and I'm proud of it. That was a turning point in my life. I went to meetings not looking for Indians anymore because I didn't care. So I started to listen to the white guy's stories. Some of you guys are nuts. If I was to lead a wagon burning war party and that, I'd select some of you white guys. Because we took our time and burned wagons. But you guys blew them up. And this is an Indian thing, this program. I adapt to it quick. Because years ago, we got together at hunting parties. We got together at different times of the season for berry picking. We got together and we shared the latest births, the latest deaths, the latest pain, and the latest happiness. We got together and we looked after the little ones, the newcomers. We got together and respected the old ones, the old timers. Just like this. So when I came here, I felt at home. I feel like this room is full of Indians. Yeah. It's just that some of you came out of the oven early. And some of you got burnt. And my First Nation people are Indian people like this one. And some of us are just right. What is sobriety? I asked my sponsor. What is sobriety? That's an easy answer, Opie. Sobriety is evidence of change. Yeah. I have a sweetheart today, and I call her Dave's. She loves who I am today. And her favorite words I like to hear is, "What did you do? What did you do?" Because I give her gifts and stuff like that, eh? And I just love those words. Wow. I came here abandoned, rejected, experienced prejudice, residential school, where we stayed there most of the year, and the priests and the nuns tell us about how good Jesus is to us. God sent Jesus down here to die for your sins. He loves little Indians like you. I thought this was cool, man. I really bought into it. Then the very same priest at night brings me to his room, puts his hand on my lap, and gives me candy and says, "You're a good boy. You're my favorite." And sexually abuses me. So when I came to the program this time, and I heard the word God, that scared the heck out of me. That scared me. Until one time I was on my way to a meeting, and I was getting frustrated, and I was saying, "God, show me. Show me yourself. Show me you exist. Because I don't really believe you cared for me. I don't really believe you loved me because all the stuff that happened to me. Show me. Today I'm going to watch out for you." So I went to a neuter meeting in Vancouver. I walked in to the meeting. And God, through many of you people, said, "Good to see you, Opie. Good to see you." And after the meeting was over, God, through you people, said to me, "Keep coming back, Opie. Keep coming back." And God, through you people, put the arms around me. "We love you, Opie." I was riding the bus back home in tears. It was that day, I believe, that there was a loving God. And every one of you here is a piece of Him. Every one of you. Wow. Wow. What do I see when I look out here? I see medicine men. I see medicine women. All of you got together to help me make it another day. To make it one more day. My heart is heavy. My heart is heavy. But you people lighten it up today. I could make it through today, sober. I had a friend not too long ago hang himself. I buried a little sister last week. And I have 3 siblings now that are dying from cancer. How do I deal with this? I deal with it the way you teach me. Acknowledge it, accept it, and what can I do about it? I offer myself to my siblings to take them to treatment and everything, and tell them I'm praying for them, and I'm telling them it's good to see them. I will be back. They are waiting for me to come home to see them. My sponsor said, you can stay sober through anything, anything. People say God gives you no more than you can handle. He must think I'm one pretty tough, spookum person. Some of my prayers, I'm saying, you can slow down now. Give me a break, eh? With all this going, I believe in things that all things work to the good for those who love God. And I love Him with all my heart. I will never leave nor forsake you. He's by my side. He is. God, you put special people in my life today. I don't want a drug. I don't want a drink. You put special people in my life that I can make a positive difference and they can make a positive difference to me. I'm really gifted because you gave me you people. You people. And then when I look around here, I'm going, he gets carried away. Wow. I had problems with hugs when I came here. Ooh. Has anything to do with touch? Was abuse by uncles and aunts and priests and nuns. Anything to do with touch. And then there are the huggies and AA. I got confused. This nice lady gave me a hug. A little on the long side. And in my mind I'm going, I think this one loves me. I wonder if she wants my phone number. Then I had a sponsor, his name is Bus Driver Barry. He went to the big meeting in the sky. He passed away from cancer. But Barry was a hugger. That's the only thing I didn't like about him. He loved a hug. And then there was a meeting downtown Vancouver, Gastown, and halftime came, and we were filling our coffees up. And he was standing at the doorway, and I'm going, oh, no. It's Barry. And then he'd come up, Opie! Oh, God. He'd put his arms around me. He'd hug me for a long time. A little too long, I think. And I'd talk from the side of my mouth, and I'm going, let go. Hugging wasn't a big thing. You don't hug in prison. Or something's coming down. That didn't come out right. Whoa. I'd like to talk about, put your hands up if you know who I'm talking about. Harry Lake. I went to a roundup in Vancouver, 4 months sober, and he was speaking at UBC. I went to listen to this man from Hawaii. And when he spoke, he told my story. The reason why people stay here is they can relate to the stories they hear and they don't feel alone. And I remembered when Harry Lake did this. When I walked down the streets with a gallon of wine under my arm, I'm the chief. I'm the boss. And I never drink out of a cup. He says, I drink like this. Glug, 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 glug. Holy, he's telling my story. And then when the whiskey and the wine went down, I tiger. I tiger. I said, same here, man. I'm bulletproof, too. And then I could relate to him, and he said, I didn't have a chip on my shoulder. I had a building. That's it, hook, line, and sinker. I am in AA. I don't hug. I don't like to be hugged. Not at that time. But I lined up to get a hug from this big Hawaiian man. I lined up. I said, what am I doing? I know he's going to hug me, and I'm going to have to put my arm around him. I hope nothing happens. So here comes my turn. And I stood there. And I looked at him. He read my name tag, Opie. He looked in my eyes. This is what he said to me. Hang in there, Opie. Then he put his arms around me. And had tears. Hang in there, Opie. He saw it in my eyes. Confusion. I want to do something. What do I do? So immediately after that, I went to the phone and phoned my wife. I'm in the program. I'm in. 39 years ago, I said, I am in the program. Thank you, Harry Lake. Thank you, Hawaii. You sent an angel, a big one, to help me. And then he went to the big meeting in the sky, and Richard went on to carry on doing what he did. I want to do what Harry did. I want to travel around to Montreal, to Quebec, and to Prince George, to Hawaii, to California, and share the story of what you people did for me. I only have one story, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And it's really new. It's really good. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I talked about puking. In 39 years, I puked once. I was driving to Edmonton, and I picked up a sub sandwich from Husky's gas station, and it was overdue date. I tasted it. It sort of tasted funny, but I ate it anyway because I'm hungry. And then I got food poisoning. And then I was afraid to fart. Because a fart is no longer considered a fart when it runs on your leg. And I remembered when I went to a meeting in Edmonton, I went to a meeting and they just thought, this guy's lost it. Because I talked about, I had a good day. When I got to my room, I had a good puke. I was so excited about it because I haven't puked in a long time. And I forgot what it was like. And it's the same as before, over the toilet bowl. But this time, I wasn't hungover or sick or anything. It had to do with a sandwich. But now when I buy a sandwich, I read the date. I don't know when I'll ever puke again. But that was a good experience. When they talk about God, I had problems with it. But I heard how it works so many times. There's one power, that one is God. May you find him now. It does not say, hopefully down the road, you find him. Sooner or later, you find him. It says, may you find him now. And when my mom said, now, she meant it. And then it says at the end that God could and would if he were sought. So I had to learn to do some sotting. My sobriety today, this very moment, is totally contingent upon my relationship with God. Totally. I pray in the morning, I pray in the afternoon, I pray at night, I pray. I pray in my room before I come here. I don't want to talk. You give me words. You give me words to say. There are people in this audience that need to be touched tonight by you. You touch them. You show them that this program works. He says, I will reach into the miry pits and make you a new creature. I will take you out of the skid roads of Vancouver and I will make you and change you into a new man. And I'm going to do it through NA and AA and well-briety. But I am going to make you a new man. And then he sent you people to do that. And he did a good job. Take a look. Woo! I remember when I wanted to shave. Because of abuse, because of my dad, but didn't like me, and my siblings were fought and everything, and the abuse happened to me, and all those things that I did, I felt guilty about. I remember when I used to shave, I had a hard time shaving, I had a hard time looking at myself. I'd shave like this, I'd look up, just so I don't cut my lip, I'd look up once in a while, and I'd hang my head down. Shame! May tell you, boy, yesterday when I shaved, I was in the front of the mirror like this. You dog. I love that man in the mirror. I make sure he sleeps good, he eats good, and gets his butt to meetings and talks to his sponsees and sponsors. I feel like Jurassic Park today. I do. I feel ancient. I'm one of those old guys in the program. I have a sponsee that just took a 35-year cake. And then I tell the ones with 1, 2, 3 months, it says the young ones that don't have much sobriety, they're 12, 14, and 18 years sober. And then they look at me and go, you're old. I know, and I love it. I love it. Oh, I tell you. I could relate to some of the things I hear in the program. One time I was at a meeting and somebody said this. I wanted to commit suicide without dying. I said, same here. Because I got things to do. I thought I was the only one that thought that. But if you tell a normie, a non-alcoholic, you know, I wanted to commit suicide without dying. Wow. I remembered my mom. I used to tell my mom this. Mom, I'm going to be a comedian. I'm going to travel. I've been a comedian now 26 years. I'm going to be a comedian. And then I'd pass out. Next time I'd be full of drugs. Mom, I'm going to be an artist and sell my artwork all over the world. And then I'd nod out. I says, Mom, I want to do motivation speaking, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And she finally got tired. She goes, Son! I goes, What, Mom? That's all you do. Talk, talk, talk. When are you going to do it? When I want to go take a shit, I just go take a shit and wipe my bum and flush the toilet. I don't tell anybody. I just do it. I never went back to her for advice after that. Because it made sense. So what was my barriers into becoming these things? Drugs, alcohol. Remove it. Then I had goals and dreams and ambitions. Then I became committed to them. Then I started to do what I had to do to become them. I listened to my mom. Quit talking. Go to those meetings and sober up. You want your heart and your soul to be better, go to church. Pray. What do I do today? One, I'm an artist. Two, I'm a juror. Three, I'm a motivation speaker for big companies. Four, I'm a stand-up comedian. Five, I make North American sacred flutes to play. Woo! Because I stopped talking. Good. I'd like to... My sponsor said one time, you gotta, now that you've been sober a while, you gotta practice these principles in all your affairs. I thought about affairs. We're not talking about that, Opie. Oh. In your work, your play, everything, you practice these principles. So I said, work? He says, yeah. If I wrote the big book, I would say, practice these principles on all your affairs except work. Because there was a lady there that I fought with every day. Seems like we put our gloves on, get ready for battle. I worked in the printing department. Oh, my gosh. Friday night, I was going home from work. And I remembered what my sponsor said. And I said, okay, next week, I'm going to practice being nice to Barb. By the time I got home, no, she don't deserve it. Saturday went, Sunday, Monday, I'm going to give it a good try. So I went to work. I said, good morning, Barb. And she went, to me it sounded like good morning, Opie. Then at the end of the day, I said, have a good evening, Barb. To me it sounded like you too, Opie. That happened 2 days. The third day I meant it. Good morning, Barb. No. Have a nice evening, Barb. And by the time the weekend, the Friday came, she quit. The boss called me into the office. Barb quit. And I tried to look real sad. She said, she can't stand you. She said, what do you do? I was nice. She came in, asked for her pay, her holiday pay, and she's gone. And I was thinking in my head, thank you, AA. If somebody is miserable and ugly and everything, be nice, they'll go away. They will, because they don't like nice people. They want to live in their misery. But when you know what the miracle part, the good part and all that of this is? My boss 2 weeks later said, Opie, can I and my wife come to a meeting with you? Because we have a drinking problem. My boss and his wife. Woo! He saw evidence of change. Yeah. I wanted to bash Barb's face in, but she would have beat me because she was a big woman. Oh. I had a garden story. I love this story about the garden. Just imagine this story. There's this lady gardening. She's got little carrots, beets, little notes. She's got this hat on, straw hat. She's got her gardening gloves. Just having fun. Green fun gardening. And the daughter's sitting on the steps, nicely dressed, summer day. The picture looks good. A lot of times in our life, the picture can look good. And then the mother gets up and talks to the lady across the fence, and they talk garden talk. Oh, my beets didn't come out last year. Then the mother took her gloves off and sat beside her daughter on the steps of the house. She said, how are you doing, babes? I'm doing okay, but what, babes? Mom, sometimes I wish I was your garden so you could spend all that time with me, so you could talk to the lady across the fence about me. Mom, sometimes I really wish I was your garden. We have gardens in our life. It could be a 4x4. It could be a job. It could be a new relationship. It could be this. At roundups, at meetings, at everything and all that. And the kids are still home. This became a garden for me. I had to learn to stay home and spend time with my kids. I had to learn to stay home and spend time with them. Because recovery starts at home. I was going to fit this into my routine. It's part of my comedy routine. How many grandparents we got here? Give a hand to the grandparents. I had opportunity to look after my granddaughter one time for 4 days. And I found it really easy because I just used the one diaper. Well, on the package it says can hold up to 24 pounds. No shit. One time, I decided to call a family meeting. Don't ever call a family meeting unless you are ready. I made the mistake. I got the family together, my two daughters, my son, and my wife, and I said, we're going to have a family meeting. We're going to be honest. What we don't like, what we like, I'm here, I got my ears, you talk to me. My oldest daughter was the most gutsy one. Can I be first, Dad? I said, oh, they want to participate. This is good. He says, Dad, when you go do comedy, you make money. When you go do your artwork, and you make money. You go to the prisons, and you reach out to the prisoners. When you go do this in the roundups and make people happy. And I'm going, waiting for the last remark, eh? Dad, sometimes we really don't care. What about us? Where are your kids? When are we going to go to a hockey game? When are we going to go picnic? When are you going to spend time with us? Holy, I've never been hit by an invisible sledgehammer in my life. And then they took turns. Oh my gosh, I've just barely taken this. Woo! Then I found myself saying, who the hell called this meeting? And all my kids, without rehearsal, said, you did that. Anyways, it lasts about an hour and 20 minutes. I said, okay, I'm going to cancel this comedy, this roundup, this, and then you will fill it in with whatever we have to do. I may have to reimburse money and stuff like that. You don't have to do that, Dad. It's what I want to do. So we filled it in with hockey games, picnicking and fishing. And the kids started to be happy because I spent time with them. I wasn't on the road all the time. Wow. Wow. And I thought the meeting was over. And I said, okay, is that it? My son was 12 years old at the time. And he said, Dad, can I talk to you by yourself? Okay. So my two daughters and wife went outside. He was sitting on the carpet. I was sitting on the couch. And he said, Dad, he had tears coming down his head. Dad, I said, David, I don't want you to call me a wuss. I don't want you to call me a sissy. I don't want you to use this against me to other boys. And he cried and cried. I said, David. And with his eyes, he looked at me. Dad, you ever thought of hugging me? You ever thought of putting your arms around me? You know, when you go to those AA meetings and you speak at the roundup and we're there, you know, when they line up to shake your hand and give you a hug? Dad, I want to line up just to get one of your hugs. I missed the boat. I was so busy in everything I did, I forgot my kids. We stood up and we hugged each other and we cried. We just cried. I held him, put him back, and I looked in his eyes. I said, son, you know what we're going to do, son? What are we going to do, Dad? Wherever we are, all we got to do is put our arms up and we'll hug. He goes, okay. Okay. We'd be in the pool hall and he'd be chalking up. Then he puts his stick down and we'd hug. Then one of the boys says, my dad doesn't do that. And his little chest goes up. My dad does. We hug anytime, any place. great dad, great son, great. We'd be in a mall in Kamloops, we're walking down the mall, and all of a sudden I go, and then we hug, and people are going by. What was this here? Years later, I haven't seen him for a while, and I know when I go to Kamloops and I see him, we're going to hug. And when he's finished hugging, he's going to put me down. Because he is no longer 12 years old. He's 6'1" and he's big. I love my son. If you haven't hugged your kids in a while, do that for me. Hug them. I text my boy. How long have you been clean and sober? Because I don't remember, right? He says, Dad, I'm going on my 4th year without drugs and alcohol. We were at a meeting. Nobody knew we were father and son. They knew me. And they asked, would that young fellow like to speak? My name is David. I'm an alcoholic. I felt so proud when he said, I have a mentor there who has proven to me that AA works. He's been sober 38 years. And that's my dad. Everybody looked at us, father and son. Wow. Does Alcoholics Anonymous work? You better believe it. You better believe it. I went to the old timers and listened to powerful stories. Powerful. Wow. You know what I'm doing while I'm up here? I'm going like this, see? I'm taking in energy because I need it. So after the meeting, if some of you feel drained, that was me. This is a selfish program. God is working with me and must work with me every day. Every day I need God's help through you people. I'm here because I'm not all there. Don't laugh, you're listening to me. It's okay to be not all there, because then we got something to work on all the time. Isn't that amazing? Wow. I am blessed to the hilt. I learned some new things in Hawaii. I went out for lunch with a couple of ladies and they said the restaurant's just across the street. It was slightly raining. Well, why are you buying umbrellas? They're just across the street. There's about 4 blocks. And I'm going to Walmart to buy these Hawaiian shirts, eh? He says, it's just over there, like you can walk there. We drove for about a half hour to get there. So So you guys are different from us up Canada. Your little ways is a long ways. And what I like about you Hawaiian people and people of the islands is you like your groceries. Yeah. Warm-hearted, kind people. That's what I got out of this place. I go home blessed. Doesn't matter who I met. You got a hug. The ladies give you a hug. And then they kiss you on the cheek. I said, I like this place already. Oh, good to see you there. Good to meet you, Opie. But I kind of got confused when one of them tried to give me a hickey. I was just kidding. Did you guys, men and women, did you enjoy the talk? You know why you enjoyed the talk? All it was a progress report on what you've been doing for me. So give yourself a hand. I've been told by you people, get a sponsor, read the big book, do the traditions, pray. Do fellowship after the meetings. Sponsor somebody. Be sponsored. Read the big book. Walk the program. Talk the program. Carry the message. I did all those things. Every day I did them all. And 38 and a half years went by because I haven't stopped doing them. Yeah. I've left many roundups feeling good, feeling blessed, rejuvenated. But I gotta tell you something, you people. This is the first roundup where I'm ever gonna be able to say, and I say it from the inner depths of my heart, I'm going to miss you people. I'm going to be on that plane. Turn the plane around. Because you guys have been so kind to me. I met some beautiful ladies. I met some people that prayed with me. Put their hands on me and prayed. God, you put words in Opie's mouth. Make sure he doesn't talk. God has good words, he does. So I say, it's going to take a couple of days. I'm going to miss you guys. This is me, boy. I have a flip here. And if I was to give this tune a name, I would call it, Let Go, My Friend. Let go. Let go of somebody you lost that passed away. Let him go to the other side to be with the grandfathers and the grandmothers. Don't hold them back. They're not going to leave until you let them go. They'll stay with you down here. Let them go and carry on with your life. Let go of alcohol and say hello to sobriety. Let go of drugs and say hello to clean time. Let go of an argument you had with your mate and say hello to forgiveness and making up. Let go of something ugly that you've been carrying for a long time, a resentment against something, somebody, or whatever. Alcoholics Anonymous is about letting go. Let God, let go and let God. I have let so many things go. and forgave and became a miracle. If I want to see a miracle, I go look in the mirror. That is a miracle. So as I play this for you, my brothers and my sisters, my family, my new family, as I play this for you, please, let something go.
God bless you.